From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. Now we have a timetable for withdrawing U.S. troops, at least according to one new agreement. U.S. and Iraqi negotiators have agreed to withdraw combat troops from Iraq by the end of 2011. Did Condoleezza Rice's surprise visit to Baghdad help things along? Plus, the political conventions are all over the news, but do they actually make news, or are they just a big show? We're going to dig into those issues on our reporters' roundtable, but first we've got Mara Schiavo-Campo. She's the digital correspondent for NBC Nightly News, and she has been covering the Olympics. Hey, Mara.
Hey, Farai, how are you?
So you're still in Beijing, right?
I am. It is late night, early morning here in China.
My goodness, you got to love those round-the-world trips. So there's so much to talk about, but let's start with the Chinese government. They have been tarred by the feathers of underage gymnasts, lip-syncing performers, phony fireworks, plus an American tourist who got stabbed to death. So how is the Chinese media dealing with those things?
Well, the state-run media, as you would expect, is not really reporting any of that. So the things that are embarrassing to the Chinese related to these games are not being reported. But the beauty of the internet is that people can get a lot of information there. So we're not seeing that in the state-run newspapers and on TV. I have read about all of those things that you just mentioned in the English-language China Daily, which apparently has some different standards. They are really minimized. They're not magnified in the way that they have been in Western media. But, of course, people can get the information that they need online through foreign news services or Chinese-run news services that are based abroad. So people have been hearing about these things, but not through the state-run media.
So the U.S. is doing well, but China has actually won the most gold medals.
That's right.
U.S. celeb athletes have been taking the spotlight, though. Tell us about some of them.
Yeah, well, Kobe Bryant is a huge super-duper star here. He got the biggest reception at the opening ceremonies. If you were watching, you know, you would have heard the roar that came up from the crowd. He got the biggest reception, second to Yao Ming only. Now, it's estimated that there are as many basketball fans here in China as there are U.S. residents. So the Chinese are really crazy about the sport, and they love Kobe. His jersey is the top-selling jersey in the country, so even above Yao Ming, and it's been that way for two seasons now. So they really love the guy. They can't get enough of him. So he's a superstar. I think it was Carmelo Anthony, or it could have been LeBron, I'm not sure who it was, but one of his teammates who said, you know, I thought I was famous until I came to China with Kobe, and then you realize what real fame is. So he's one that's getting a huge reception here. Michael Phelps as well is getting a big reception. There was a funny clip that's circulating online and on some TV shows about a British guy who kind of sort of looks like Phelps, and he was mobbed at Tiananmen Square, and he was saying to people, I'm not Michael Phelps, my name is so-and-so, I'm British, but they just didn't want to hear it. They wanted to take pictures and touch him. And so they're just really into these great athletes of these games.
All right, let's talk about Liu Shang. He is 24. He'd been the hope for the Chinese in sports. What happened?
Yeah, this is he won China's first Olympic gold medal in men's track and field in Athens, and he was really their only hope for gold in men's track and field this time around. He's China's most popular athlete, but he's more than that. He's a national hero, and so they were really hanging a lot of their hopes on him, but he had an injury. He had an inflamed Achilles tendon. I think he also had problems with his hamstrings, and he had to withdraw from his event at the last minute. I mean, people were shocked. Even reporters were in tears. Fans were in tears. His coach was crying because people had – I mean, there's billboards around the country that had him on it. He was in commercials. I mean, people were really counting on him, and he just kind of fell by the wayside at the last moment. And so aside from the shock and disappointment that you would expect from people here, a lot of people are really angry because they feel deceived. He hasn't competed since the spring, and so there were kind of inclinations that he wasn't that healthy, but nobody realized that it was as bad as it was. And so the people that I spoke to really felt like he should have said something, somebody should have said something. They shouldn't have let this charade continue until the final hour and thinking that he was really their hope, when really there probably wasn't that hope realistically ever. And so people are shocked and angry and disappointed about that.
Let's briefly talk about what people will take away from this Olympics. Give me a sense just of the themes that people will take away. And then there's also the shopping. I have to bring that up because U.S. and China are huge trade partners, and there's some knickknacks. So what do you think people will take away emotionally, and then what will they physically take away, people who've traveled?
Well, I can tell you what I'm taking away from it, and in some ways I may be symbolic of what other visitors are taking away. This is really China's moment in the spotlight, and it's their time to shine. But at the same time, they've been incredibly hospitable. I mean, the way that they've treated us as guests, they've been remarkable hosts. And I'm not talking about officials or people officially related to the Olympics. I'm talking about the people on the street, the people who work in hospitality, hotels and restaurants. I mean, a woman came up to me the other day and had a note written in English because she didn't speak English, so somebody had written this for her. It said, "Could you please sign my scrapbook?" So she was going around collecting, you know, little notes from foreigners that were there visiting. So people have been tremendously hospitable and warm and welcoming, and it's almost like they're sharing their moment in the spotlight with everybody that's coming to visit. And it's also been a window to the world into China. You know, people are really seeing kind of the glory of at least the city of Beijing. I mean, it's a remarkable city. You see things like the Bird's Nest Stadium, the Water Cube, the spectacle that they put on in the opening ceremonies, and it really creates a new picture for what the China of today is. And I think that's what they were hoping to leave people with, and they've accomplished that goal.
All right, we've got to let you go, but what one trinket are you bringing back as a memoir?
Well, of course, you have the cliche things, hats and pins and T-shirts and things like that. I didn't buy anything that outrageous, but I will tell you the most outrageous thing that I saw while shopping was a three-piece stainless steel Olympic logo toenail clipping set. So you have the fingernail clippers, the toenail clippers, a magnifying glass, and it's all very classily done, but I just thought it was such an odd thing to have to take with you to remember a sporting event like this. But
well, just remember. So yes. Fresh and so clean.
So fresh, so clean.
Well, Mara, it's great to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Farai.
Mara Schiavo-Campo is a digital news reporter for NBC News, and she joined us from Beijing, where she's been covering the Olympics.